Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung, and I invite you now to join us as we continue with our session on studying prophecy in the School of Prophets Institute. This is session number 4, lesson number 3. We have focused on the first sealed judgment that unfolds itself as we move into the tribulation period. We studied the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. A man on a white horse with a crown on his head, a bow in his hand, and we'll not rehearse what we talked about last time, but that is the Antichrist. The Antichrist who comes to power at the beginning of the tribulation period, actually before that, after the rapture of the church, the 10 horns of Daniel chapter 7 appear. That would be as defined and interpreted later on in Daniel chapter 7, the revived Roman Empire. And then the little horn out of the 10 horns, that's one of 27 names for the Antichrist. The Antichrist, the leader of the revived Roman Empire. And again, I pass along to you, will not spend the time to study deeply on this, but the European Union of today would represent at least the infrastructure for the establishment of the revived Roman Empire. That's another study for another time. Now, the Antichrist is going to rule over a one-world church. Revelation chapter 17, when it refers to the word whore 3 times in that passage of Scripture, and woman 6 times, in other words, 9 references to an unvirtuous, non-virgin woman, a whore, a prostitute. And this was, of course, referring back to the mother-son cult, the Babylonian religion that was established some 4,500 years ago, back in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, and verse 4. The Babylonian false church, the mother-son cult that moved from Babylon with the fall of the Babylonian Empire in 539 BC. It moved then to Pergamos, one of the 7 churches in Revelation 2 and 3. And there, that is the time when the Roman emperors were deified. They had their priest. They had a convent of virgins. They continued the mother-son cult, this false religion, which ultimately, with the fall of the Roman Empire, would move its headquarters to the seven hills city described in chapter 17 and verse 9, that would be the city of Rome, where it will be headquartered during the time, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, when the Antichrist will have control over this false church. At the end of the first 3.5 years, the revived Roman Empire, these 10 horns of Daniel chapter 17, will rise up. In fact, God will put in the hearts of these evil world leaders to accomplish His will and destroy the false church. Now, at that point in time, and we'll dig more deeply into this as we continue through Revelation, the Antichrist will move his headquarters from the city of Rome temporarily to the city of Jerusalem. There, the temple will be standing on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The Antichrist will walk into the Holy of Holies and claim to be God. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. That's the abomination of desolation as referred to by Daniel the prophet in chapter 11 of his prophecy. Well, after a period of time, the false prophet, one of the 3 members of the Satanic Trinity, will put a statue in the Holy of Holies of the Antichrist. It will have capability of speaking seemingly and moving. This could be through robotics and through ventriloquism. Indeed, the signs, wonders, and miracles that the false prophet will use to cause the world to worship the Antichrist will be in play with this statue in the city of Jerusalem. Soon after that, the Antichrist will move then over to the shores of the Euphrates River and the literal city of Babylon. Now, I'm starting to get ahead of myself. We'll wait to next time to talk about the rise of Babylon and ultimately the demise of the literal city of Babylon. Well, that's the review as we've looked at the book of Revelation in our last time together. We're in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. going along at the same time on two tracks, like a railroad engine goes down the two tracks of the railroad track. There are going to be events that will be unfolding as the six remaining sealed judgments will take place. I'm going to look at the other events in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period first, and then we'll take a look at seals number 2 through 7. In the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, with the appearance of Antichrist, there's going to be a season of peace. Remember, the nations that will gather to attack the Jewish state of Israel do that during a time when the Jews are dwelling safely in the land. And that, of course, will come about because the Antichrist will confirm peace agreements between the Jewish people and their neighbors, their enemies, and so there will be a peace, howbeit short-term, howbeit pseudo-peace, that the Antichrist will establish. It's during that time that there will be two witnesses that will preach. Go to chapter 11 of the book of Revelation, and we'll start to study about these two witnesses. Now, these are going to be events that happen soon after the beginning of the tribulation period, and of course, the clock starts ticking on the 7-year period of time when the Antichrist does confirm that peace treaty that we have been talking about. In Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." By the way, look at that number of days, 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. That is half of the 7-year period of time. But by the way, those are not Christian calendar days. Those would be Jewish calendar days. You see, the Jewish calendar has only 360 days in it. The Jews have 12 months of 30 days a month. They're on a lunar system, and thus they would have these 1,260 days. You could multiply 365 times 7 and then divide it by 2, and you would not come up with 1,260. The only way you could do that is multiply 360 days times 7 and then divide it by 2. And you'll get 1,260 days. Another evidence that the focus is on the Jewish people during the 7-year tribulation period, not even a Christian calendar used during that time, as it's talking about the period of time when the judgments will take place here on the earth. Well, these two witnesses are going to be able to witness for 3.5 years, half of that 7-year period of time, 1,260 days. Now, these two witnesses are going to be well protected as they are involved in preaching. Look at verse 4. "These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth, and if any man would hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouths and devoureth their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this matter be killed." That is amazing. They will be protected for this 3.5-year period of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached during the 7-year period of time. In this first 3.5 years, it will be the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is that which, when Jesus Christ came, he told his disciples and John the Baptist to preach, preach that the kingdom was coming, and preach that the resurrected Jesus Christ is the one that they must trust in his death, his burial, and resurrection to be prepared for that kingdom. Well, these two witnesses will have the opportunity to be protected during the time that they are preaching, and they'll be headquartered on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. Not only will they be protected, but their power will be unbelievable. Verse 6, "These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they will." If there is indeed a purpose for presenting and displaying this power to the world, these two witnesses will have it available and to accomplish what God would have them to do as they're reaching the world with the gospel message, the gospel of the kingdom, which at the end of the 7-year tribulation period will culminate with the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 talks about what is going to happen, the persecution that will follow. "And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, this is verse 7, and shall overcome them and kill them. Notice what's going to happen now. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of that great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, which also is where our Lord was crucified. That's the city of Jerusalem. And so these two witnesses killed after 3.5 years of ministry, laying in the streets of Jerusalem. They lay there, and everybody on earth sees them during the 3.5 days that they lay there in the streets of Jerusalem. Verse 8, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city Jerusalem. Verse 9, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. I often talk about the fact that during this time, there's going to be partying going on across the world. It's going to be a dead party, and they're going to send gifts one to another, dead gifts or something like that. Notice what it says here now in verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Well, after 3.5 days, amazingly, they're going to be resurrected from the dead. Verse 11, and after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon all them which saw this. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, notice here's the phrase, come up hither. Remember, that's what was said in the book of Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, come up hither. Indeed, the rapture of the church. And they ascended into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Two witnesses that will preach during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. There's much speculation as to who the two witnesses are. I have an idea as to who I believe they are. We'll look at that in just a moment. But let me show you a very interesting concept that maybe you've never considered before. The fact is, these two witnesses, and any witness, in fact, gives testimony of what he or she has seen. Go with me to Luke chapter 24 just a moment. The book of Luke chapter 24 is dealing with the time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 1, talking about on the first day of the week when the ladies, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and the Mary of Mary and Martha come to the location where Jesus Christ had been buried for the purpose of anointing his body with the spices. Verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, notice this, two men stood by them, shining in their garments. Isn't that an interesting thought? Two men stood there by the gravesite, and indeed there was no Jesus Christ in that grave. The stone had been rolled away. It was open. It's unbelievable what had happened. And these two men witnessed what took place. They had witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now let me show you something else that goes along this line. The book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 is the record of that 40-day period of time after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when he would have taught his disciples about things to come, prophecy, teaching going into the minds of the disciples who are going to be used to reach around the world with the gospel message. Now, he concludes all of that teaching by telling them to wait there in Jerusalem for the power that is going to make them witnesses unto all of the world, starting in Jerusalem, going to Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth.